Wayne, how are you today?
Good, E. How you doing? How you doing, PJ?
I'm good, Wayne. Good. Now we got to be careful now because this is one of our conversations. People are listening. Okay, this is not me phoning you up in the middle of the night.
I am a Raptor fan also.
Okay, good.
Good. That's great.
An influential one at that.
I am a big Raptor fan, literally.
Literally and figuratively, right, Wayne?
and he. You forget you left out the Milwaukee championship run in 71.
I apologize, of course. That's my bad
before you were born. John.
Yes, just a couple of years. I apologize on that one, Wayne. That's my bad, and I appreciate you correcting me on that because shame on me. Wayne, listen, we could have had you on and would have had you on to simply just talk about the Raptors championship or even to get your views as a guy who has lived through so much in your lifetime as a player, as a man, as an executive, et cetera. But obviously what's been happening in the world, maybe started stateside, but certainly it's being felt globally in the last few weeks. I'm not even sure how to come at this question. When I think about, and I say this respectfully to you, you've lived through a couple of different wars, including a world war. You've lived through the civil rights movement the first time around, if not multiple times, but here we are now in the middle of another civil rights movement as well as a pandemic. Can you kind of make any sense of what is happening in our world right now and where you kind of stand as you sort of wake up and open your eyes to what's happening every single day?
I'll tell you what, I sit here saddened, angered, and quite frankly, terrified, because you're right. I lived through the civil rights movement in the 60s and, of course, the Vietnam War protests. But nothing like this. My heart goes out to those who are infected by COVID and those who have lost loved ones. And then the watch what's happening with the protests, with the death of the young black men and women, it's just sad. It's just very disheartening.
Wayne, and you and I have talked about this. What, as difficult a time as this is, what is it about this one? And I've expressed this to you. What is it about this one that gives you more hope? Because it's like sports. You're always selling wins or you're selling hope. And we were hopeful in the 60s with Martin Luther King. And then, you know, the first kind of filming of it, the first visual part of it came with Rodney King. And we were hopeful that people would see then and make changes. And it didn't happen. And now here we are 60 years removed from Martin Luther King, 30 years from Rodney King. And to me, this one feels a little bit more hopeful because it's being seen and it seems like people are acting on it. What is it that makes this one, as afraid as you are, Wayne, more hopeful for you?
Well, I'm encouraged by the diversity of the protesters. Very encouraged by that. Not at all encouraged by the rhetoric I hear around the protests and that which we've seen, but for the most part, the protests have been peaceful and just a few acts of violence. But I think the key is to not have any violence, but protests given the First Amendment right into our Constitution. And hopefully the message you get sent that enough is enough. And but like the post 60s, 70s protests, there was a lot of progress made in the world. But then I think what we're experiencing now and what we experienced the last several years is perhaps a backlash of that. And hopefully this time around there won't be a backlash, but I'm just hopeful.
Wayne, you've relayed the story to I believe both Paul and I individually, but certainly together on other shows that we've done over the years and in conversations that we've had with you on or off the air. You've talked about what it was like, back in the early and mid 60s and I believe you told the story to us, Jonesy. I think it was a few years ago on the Hoop Show, playing in 1965, and rooming with Oscar Robertson, and you got then, and we had a chance with you to meet Big O down in Orlando a few years back, and I still have that picture and cherish that picture, the four of us together, myself and Jonesy, with you and Oscar. You were rooming together, and you got a phone call from your wife talking about Oscar's wife and wanting to march in Selma, the march in Selma, Alabama. Could you maybe retell that story or a portion of that story in terms of how things unfolded and your views of things at that time?
Well, of course, you know, we'd all witnessed Black Sunday, the initial march that was stopped because of the violence and the dogs and that which occurred then, the violence that erupted with the police. And so that was fresh in our minds. And then we were in Philadelphia, I think. It was time for the second march. They were organizing the second march. And my wife called, Terry called, and says that Wayne, Yvonne and I are going, Yvonne's Oscar's wife, Yvonne and I are going to Selma to march tomorrow. And I said, no, you're not. You got kids at home. You can't go after what we had witnessed. She says, we're going. And don't tell Oscar. Yvonne's going to call him as soon as we hang up. And she hung up. And the phone rang, and it was, sure enough, Oscar's wife. And Oscar said the same thing I did. No, you're not. You're going to stay home with the kids. We got kids at home. You can't go. And next thing I know, he hung up. He says, big fella. He says, they're going to go. And I said, I know. I know. Nothing we can do about it here. We're here and they're there. So the next night, we played the game. It was two nights later. We come home and we beat them home, and we had to go meet them at the plane. They took a charter plane, and they were shaking when they got off the plane. They were still shaking from the experience that they had had. And then, of course, they replayed it to us about how the dogs and people throwing objects at them and how they had to go to the airport in a truck covered with a tarp, all the bodies, their bodies lying on the bed of the truck with a tarp over them to get them out of Birmingham. So it was an unbelievable experience for them, and I just am fascinated still when I hear some of the story that Terry will, every once in a while, remember something that happened and some of the faces of people. And it was just a frightening thing, but here we are again.
Yeah. Wayne, I want to look at kind of present day, as you said, here we are again. But in the interim, we've had people like Ollie, all the way up to Kaepernick, and, you know, even guys trying with failed attempts when Craig Hodges went to the White House amidst the Bulls championships and tried to get the ear of, you know, the president, and, you know, subsequently Craig was out of the league. I mean, people have been trying, and a lot of athletes are speaking up using their platform now. And over the weekend, there was a call, and some of the athletes thought, well, maybe we shouldn't play. And maybe we shouldn't play because of COVID-19, and maybe we shouldn't play because of the unrest, and we want this thing settled. Your thoughts on, I mean, to me, this has always been going on, and games have been going on with, in spite of, in parallel to any kind of movement or protests. So, I Wayne, I guess I just want your thoughts on what some of the young players might be thinking now, or what you would advise them now in terms of playing and the protest? Do you not play to continue the movement, or do you play to help further the movement?
Well, you said it right there, Paul. Excuse me. I think they continue to play to further the movement because it's always been my belief that through sports you can bring about change, and I think we have. I think, particularly in a team sport where you got people coming together from diverse backgrounds, different cultures, to work toward a common goal, and that's to win a championship. And so I think by playing and proving that to be true is essential.
We're speaking with Wayne Embry, senior advisor for the Toronto Raptors, Naismith Hall of Famer and multiple-time champion. Wayne, to kind of piggyback, that's all right. If you need a minute, Wayne, you let me know. We can kind of bring you back.
Okay,
into the
go
floor
ahead.
If you need. To piggyback on what Paul was saying there, and you just answered that, you know, you think the best thing is maybe to continue playing. How do you think the league ultimately will or should handle those that maybe don't want to play? Because I would imagine, and you've been there and you still are in a managerial and an executive role, there are some that might not feel comfortable doing so. And whether they're not comfortable because of their social and political beliefs, or if it's more so, there are some that aren't comfortable playing in the bubble because of the virus. How do you think teams and the league itself will handle something like this?
Well, I think the bubble concept is interesting and probably more fearful, and I can understand some concerns because this is something we've never experienced before. I thought maybe back when I was younger, the polio epidemic may have been something as close to this, but I've never experienced anything like what we're going through now with COVID-19. And it's very sad. So I can, it's understandable that players may not want to play and be into the bubble. But as you know, the league is taking every precaution to make it safe. And so I think they'll even go beyond what may be necessary to make sure that happens. So I'm encouraged that there are those who do want to play, and hopefully everyone will remain safe. As far as the protests, I think everyone's entitled to the First Amendment right of the Constitution in the U.S., and so it's entirely up to them. I think owners in football is starting to recognize that, and there has to be an end to what's going on. And I admire LeBron and some of the other players speaking up, exercising their First Amendment right, because it's got to change, fellas. You know, when I was in school, I reminded my daughters of this the other day. We had to learn to pledge allegiance to the flag and for the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And, you know, I consider myself a part of that all. So I stand for liberty and justice.
Wayne, you, you know, talked about the championship in Milwaukee in 71. I remember asking you, I was just a kid watching those games, and I asked you if Kareem's hook shot that tied the game from the corner would have been a three-pointer today, and you said no, and I don't know, maybe through my lens, it sure looked like he was way deep in the corner when he made that hook shot in game six. But you look at Kareem now, Wayne, as a guy that's been through the movement, you know, is still very vocal. Your thoughts on him as a guy who maybe before it was maybe easier is not the right word, but maybe before athletes had the liberty and the latitude to speak up, Kareem was a guy that was at times silently protesting and trying to make his points all the way along. And you're quite familiar with the big guy.
I am. And I'm really proud of what he's doing now. He's speaking up now, and I think it's resonating. And I've always been a big Kareem fan. I admire the steps that he's taken along the way, which weren't easy, you know, to declare himself adopted Muslim religion. And I remember, you know, what happened to his home in Washington, and what the violence and that which took place there. And he's lived through that. And I think he's become quite a spokesman for what should be right in the world. And so I'm a big fan of Kareem. I sent him a text the other day, as a matter of fact, telling him how proud I was of him.
Wayne, before we let you go here, and we appreciate your time and certainly your thoughts and perspective on this conversation. I'd be remiss if I didn't at least ask you. I know we touched on it a little bit off the top. As you said, you're a big Raptors fan, and obviously so. I'd be remiss if I didn't at least ask you about the anniversary that passed us this past weekend on Saturday. What a ride it was, Wayne. And as Jonesy and I both said off the top, it's hard to believe that a year has gone by and think about how much has happened, certainly on the floor, but now off the floor as well in this past year. But no matter what way you slice it, the Toronto Raptors are still the reigning champs, and they have the longest reign, arguably, in league history in some senses. They get to be the champ a little bit longer until things start up again. What stands out for you?
That's a good point.
What stands out for you, maybe more than anything, when you think back to June 13th of 2019?
Well, of course, it was a heck of a ride. You know, some courageous steps were made by Masai and Bobby and the rest ownership to make the deal for Kawhi. And even though we all knew that it was perhaps maybe a one-year rental, but the risk-reward situation played out, and we were rewarded. And I'm just so proud of the organization and happy for the city and the country that we were able to deliver the championship. And it is a year ago, and I'm ready to defend. I'm a competitor guy, so I'm putting that back. I'm ready to get after it again. So let's hopefully we can defend the championship successfully. And why not just start I think I may have told one of you guys this, that when I came back after winning the championship, my friend said, boy, what a great ride. Nothing better than that. And I said, yes, there is. I said, how can anything be better than that? I said, winning too. So,
hey, Wayne, you sound like Kawhi. You sound like Kawhi last year saying, you know, when Nick said we're going to get one, and Kawhi said, blank that, let's go get two.
That's right.
Hey, Wayne, listen, we appreciate the time today. We probably could have had you on for the entire hour, but we appreciate you taking some time with us. All the best to you and the family. Please stay safe and healthy, and we look forward to seeing you in person when it's safe and proper to do so.
Yes, sir, and you guys stay healthy as well, and all your listeners, please stay healthy.